I left the hymnal on the altar. I had no idea what you were singing. So hopefully we'll get that fixed before now in the second service. Well, here we are. Let us pray. Blessed Savior, give us the will and the strength to take up the cross and to follow you to life eternal. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and God's people said, Amen. If you remember, and we're here last week, last week's gospel was also from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. And in those verses, we know that Peter makes confession, and that confession was that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And today's gospel reading that Ken shared with you earlier is also from chapter 16, and it's verses 21 to 28. Last week we heard about Peter, and he said something that brought a hearty commendation from his Lord Jesus, who told Peter that he was the rock on which he would build his church. But this week, Peter says something that brings a harsh rebuke from Jesus, with Jesus basically calling him what? Satan. And telling him to get behind him. So in those few verses, Peter goes from commendation to rebuke, from being called a rock to being called Satan. What's going on? Well, this morning we're going to discover that this has to do with what Peter thinks about Jesus as the Messiah. And so our theme today, Peter gets the who, but not the how. Peter gets the who. And no, for the kids here, this is not the title of a Dr. Seuss book. Peter gets the who. But Peter and the other disciples had been with Jesus for some time at this point in his ministry. And they had heard his preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And they had heard the Sermon on the Mount, the special teaching. And they had also seen miracles that Jesus had performed, healing the sick and casting out demons and calming storms and many other things. Powerful. And so Jesus asked them the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter, as he often does, spoke up for the group, and he answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is exactly who Jesus is. He is the Christ. That is the Messiah, the Anointed One, appointed with the Spirit of God and God's chosen servant. The Christ coming from the line of David and the one who will rescue and bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And it'll be an everlasting kingdom. Our Lord Jesus is the divine deliverer, sent by God from heaven. And that is all packaged into what Peter is saying when he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus do when Peter speaks those words? He says this, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And on that day, Peter gets an A+ for the answer that he gives. He was right on. You've got it, Peter. Exactly correct. But Peter didn't come to this answer by his own will, but God had revealed that truth to him about his Lord Jesus. But Peter's answer, his confession of who Jesus is absolutely right. For Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is very true. So, Peter does get the who. And this confession of who Jesus is the identity as Christ, the Son of God. This really forms the climax of the first half of this chapter from Matthew. And now from this point on, the story of Jesus starts to move in a very distinct direction. Matthew notes this shift with the little phrase, from that time. Having established who Jesus is now, the storyline goes, that Jesus will, what he's going to be doing and how he's going to accomplish it. How is he going to accomplish that mission as the Messiah? And this is the how that Peter really doesn't understand in our gospel reading for today. From that time, and this is where we pick it up today's gospel reading. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and also the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. I can just hear Peter, whoa. That's something very different. That's not something that we might expect from the mighty Messiah of Israel. That he would be rejected by the very religious leaders of Israel, and that being the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And then he would suffer many things from them and ultimately be killed. How can this be? I thought the Messiah would be welcomed with open arms. I thought he was going to reign in glory and bring in the golden age of blessing and triumph and deliverance from the hands of our enemies. Isn't that what the greatest of all kings is supposed to do? Not get killed. You see, I believe that's what Peter was thinking. And he gets the who, but he doesn't get the how. And so he tells Jesus this. He, the disciple, begins to rebuke Jesus, the master, for his crazy talk. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. No. Peter's saying, this does not compute. How can you be the Messiah and then have this type of rejection and suffering and death? I don't get it. And no, Peter, you don't. In fact, you are saying here is the direct opposite of what Jesus came to do. For Jesus to avoid this rejection and this death in Jerusalem and fail to redeem mankind, that actually is the objective of someone else. That is the objective of the devil. And so Jesus now has to rebuke Peter with some very strong words. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Those are very harsh words to Peter, the disciple he had just commended so heartily. Get behind me, Satan. Why, those are the very words Jesus had used at Satan himself when he was in the wilderness being tempted. And so he tempted Jesus to take the easy way out, to achieve glory apart from suffering, apart from going to the cross. And now Jesus uses those same words to rebuke Peter. For Peter, even without realizing it, is speaking the will of the devil and not the will of God. Jesus will not be turned aside from carrying out his mission, even if the mission takes him the way of the cross. Why? Because Jesus came. He came to do the will of his Father who had sent him. And that will was to redeem all of mankind from their sins and from our sins. And the only way to do that is for Jesus himself to bear the weight of our sin and guilt and shame. And this is the how, then, that Peter didn't get. Now, let's be honest here this morning. If we would not have gotten it either, I suppose. It doesn't make sense to us. We expect glory. We want glory and God's approval. We don't think things are bad enough between us and God, certainly not on our part, that it should require God's own Son to die in our place. But things are that bad. We have no goodness in ourselves that will stand the test of God's judgment. All of us have sinned, and we have sinned against God, our Creator. We've not listened to His voice. Instead, many times we have gone off on our own, each one of us wanting to be our own God, making our own decisions about what is right and what is wrong. And that, my dear friends, is called rebellion. That is sin, the original sin which lies inside each one of us. We also know what the punishment and the judgment for sin is. It is death, eternal death, separation from God and from eternity. So this morning then, what is the remedy? What is there that we must do? And the answer will have to come from God. We can't pile on enough good things, good works, to atone for our sin, and that is where Jesus comes in both the who and also the how. For it will take the Christ sent from heaven, it will take the Son of the living God to do what you and I cannot do. Only Jesus Christ can accomplish our redemption and our deliverance. And that's the who. And the how is that he will do it this precisely by suffering and death. By dying in our place on the cross, Jesus pays that price for our transgressions. His holy blood does indeed atone for the sins of all mankind. God's justice is then satisfied, for God's great mercy is displayed to us. God so loved the world, he so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that we would not perish eternally, but instead have everlasting life. And that is the what. This is what Christ's death on the behalf of all of us has won for us. Life, life forever. Life even now. Forgiveness of all of our sins. They're all wiped away and we have a clean slate. We have a new life of faith and love, grounded in the gospel, growing in the gospel. We now have access to God the Father, who loves us dearly and hears our prayers. And he is with us, even in the midst of all of our troubles. He will give us strength to endure the turmoil and the suffering that we will surely encounter in this life. The misery that we will experience, some of which we bring on ourselves, some of which others inflict upon us, and some just happens because we live in a fallen world. For God's mercy is greater than our misery, and God's mercy will triumph in the end. And that end will be life without end, resurrection from the dead. Eternal life is restored to the creation when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And that is the what. And it happens because of the who and of the how. Who is Jesus is and how he accomplishes our salvation. This gives us the what. What we have in Christ and what we will have forever because of him. At the time of this text, Peter didn't get all of this. He did get the who, but he didn't get the how. He knew Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, but he didn't know how Jesus was going to carry out his messianic mission and that it would involve rejection and suffering and ultimately death. Peter had in mind the things of man, not of the things of God. Later, though, after the resurrection of Christ, then Peter would indeed get it. Christ, the risen Lord, would open Peter's mind to understand the scriptures, and Peter then would go on to be a bold proclaimer of Jesus Christ, of the who and the how and the what. And so, today, as we gather, I ask you, do we get it? I think we do, for God has given us the gift of faith, that gift to believe in Christ Jesus and to trust in him as our Savior, to know who Jesus is, to know how he achieved our salvation, and also to know what he has won for us as a result. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do we get it? I believe the answer is yes. We do get it. We get it all as a gift through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his precious name then that we give thanks. Amen. And now, grace us, Heavenly Father, to confess that Jesus so remain on this unshakable rock of our salvation. Lord, we thank you for being willing to suffer and to die that we might be forgiven. Lead us now, this day, and the 10 days to come, to share your precious word with others. We ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. And again, God's people said, Amen. At this time, then, we will gather our offering, and we will be singing the offertory on page 159 of your hymnal, and hopefully it will be on the screen.